we do for God. Now, we can put a worldly mindset to that and say, the fruits of your labor, when you go to work every day and you put the time in, your fruit is your paycheck. So we understand the concept of doing something and gaining something because of. But when you put that into a spiritual sense, we can do the things, but we may not gain anything back from it. Because God says if we don't do it with the right heart, we don't do it for the right reasons, we don't do it for Him, then all that work we do, He'll use, He'll take, and He'll allow it to be applied to the lives of the people. And I'll put a message into that. You know, I could preach a message, and the Word of God will go out, and it'll touch people, and it'll allow them to rethink some things. But if I'm preaching it out of the wrong motive, out of the wrong heart, then I get nothing from it except what I would get from the Word of God. But I don't get no fruits for it. So what Solomon is saying here is a lot of times those fruits, and we just saw a lot of the negative, the free fruits that we do or the fruits that we think we're going to get, we may not get. And the interesting thing about that is we will not know the fruits that we will gain because we won't get them sometimes. Some of our fruits we won't get till we get to heaven. Sometimes, and again, I pictured it many times, that God is going to walk up to me, and He's got this big old arm full of rewards and crowns and things that He wants to give me, and He's going to stop short, set them down, and He's going to pick up a smaller bunch, and that's what I'll get. Because there are things that I do that I won't do them in the right heart. There's things that I do that will undo the fruits, and we talked about some of those, how the people around us, the corruption of the people around us, the corruption of the world we live in, my enviness or my covetousness to somebody else's things. You know, and that's why God said in the Scriptures that it's the intent of the heart, and He weighs the heart. God doesn't weigh our abilities. We will never surprise God with our ability to do anything because He gave us the ability in the first place. So we won't surprise Him. All of a sudden, God's going to look down on me and say, wow, that's pretty good. I didn't know you could do that. God gave all the gifts to us. He gave us all the abilities. So giving just that back to Him is not fruit worthy because basically to me, that's just a right responsibility. If God gifted me, then I need to give that gift back to God. Every morning when you wake up, then you open your eyes and you take that first breath. That's a gift from God. So now how are you going to give back to God the rest of the day for that breath that He gave you? So when you see that and understand that, it's the fruit, but I think Solomon's going to get back into the realms that it's our heart, it's our intent. So when we start looking at verse 18, now, this section goes quite lengthy, but we're not going to cover all of it tonight. We're going to break this section up. It goes from 5:18 to verse 9 of chapter 6. Again, many of you understand that without the Scriptures were written with no verse breakage or chapter breakage, so it was all just one big written letter. And so we break that up at times, and the content, sometimes it shouldn't be a division. But so we're going to look at chapters 5, verse 18 through chapter 6, verse 9. And Solomon now is going to introduce to us labor's fruits. The things that we will get because we labor are to be enjoyed as God gives us the ability to enjoy them. Because I don't want to, and Solomon I think is great in ending in this because he doesn't want to come across that we're to be the minimalist, you know, it's wrong to have anything, or it's wrong to acquire, it's wrong to use, because Solomon never said that. It's the heart in which we have, the heart in which we use, the methods that we gained and acquired. Those are all the things that Solomon's talking about. So when we begin this labor of fruits, basically, again, as he showed some the fruitful side of our labor, and now he's going to show us that all the wealth that Solomon gained is going to be recommended for an enjoyment of life, but he warned that there are serious obstacles to such enjoyment. There are some serious obstacles to the things that will stop us from enjoying what God intended for us to enjoy. And one of the things I think we're missing is that Christ came to fulfill our what? What did Christ come to fulfill? Take a guess. Salvation. Paid for our sins. He came to fulfill our... joy? It's kind of scriptural. There's a verse. He came to fulfill our joy. And all the things that you had said are correct. I mean, I'm not going to say you were correct. He came to do many things for us. Salvation, the most important, because you can't have a joy without it. But when you realize that he states in scriptures, he came to fulfill our joy. He came to over, more abundance, scripture says. And so we as Christians ought to be the most happy people in the world, regardless of what's going on, regardless of what the world's doing. And so I think some of the obstacles, again, first we're going to see the recommendation in verse 18. Verse 18 states that, behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun, all the days of life which God giveth him, for it is his portion. And so first thing we need to understand and realize this is what I believe what he's trying to share here is the realm that as we are able to, as God has given us and gifted us the ability to do this, we need to be able to look at that and say, okay, God has gifted me, God has allowed me. And again, the recommendation of the joy, enjoy the labor of fruits, God has enabled. Here, can you reach that? I'll grab that for you. There you go. All righty. So the recommendation is to enjoy labor's fruits as God has gives us ability. So Solomon, again, the wisest man, declared it good. And it's very important that we see that, because when Solomon declares it is good, I have seen it is good and comely to do what? To eat and drink and enjoy the good of hard work. To enjoy your labor. There's nothing wrong with eating and drinking and enjoying the good of putting forth a good hard day's work. And so what I think is he's beginning to see, and we begin to understand, the Hebrew word here is Solomon's, the motivation that Solomon basically is saying here. It's the proper next step to enjoy the things that you've worked for. So it's not wrong. It's not wrong to have, not wrong to enjoy. And again, as we've seen prior to this, it's more so the heart of which we do it. Again, it's the toiling of accomplishing and acquiring and never being satisfied. That's where we run into problems, when you're never satisfied with what you have. And interesting enough, when I think in my life experience, and I think scripturally taught, that when we come to a point in our life where we're content with what we have, that's when God really opens up and gives us more. And it's so much more joyful when we know God has done something and God has given us something, more so than we're just working more hours for it or we're working harder for it. So a contentment, I think, is very important in this whole foundational teaching that Solomon gives. So he said it is good. It's good to eat, drink, and also that word comely there. It's basically the next right step for one to eat and drink and enjoy the good of his labor. And again, that he taketh under the sun, that we're talking about earth, talking about all the things we do here. And it says, for how long? All the days of his life. All the days of his life. So the proper thing, the fitting thing, is interesting. And you can see this same word used in verse 11 as beautiful. It's a good thing. It's a beautiful thing. It's a great thing to be able to be have the experience of your fruits. And it says, for again, we are to enjoy them, to find satisfaction in our labor. But again, as it says, and the very one of the key parts of that verse 18 is, it is his portion, which God hath given him. It says first, which God hath given him his portion. God has given to every man a portion, which means you're not going to have everything that somebody else has. you're not going to acquire every, and you shouldn't want to acquire everything that someone else has. Because God's promised you that he will give you what you need in your portion. Some other people may need something else. So you look at these individuals who are wealthy, who have money, and they give back. You know, they're very good stewards with their resources. They give back to God's cause and God's ministry. And you're saying, you know, if I could have that, if I could just have that wealth, I would give back to God. Well, that's a great statement, but maybe God knows once you get it, you won't give it back. Your portion. He knows exactly what you need to be able to function as he has created you and gifted you to function. You're not going to need everything that everybody else has. And so I think that as God has given that portion is very, very important, because we have a portion, a share, an allotment. God has taken all the riches in heaven and he has divided them up so that all his children get a portion of the inheritance. And we understand that, because many of us do that. Many of us have that. We write those papers to give portions and divide it equally. And so when we're here on earth and we're working hard and we're watching people acquire things that we can't have, all of a sudden you go into the previous verses, Solomon says that's one of the things that'll destroy your fruit, when you covet what somebody else has. And Solomon now, to me, is explaining this. And so he goes on a little bit further, and not only the recommendation to enjoy it, but you go into verses 19 and 20. Verse 19 and 20 says, every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor, this is a gift from God. For he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answereth him in the joy of his heart. Man, I wish that verse could be lived in every one of our lives. Because verse 19 is so important. The result of our labor is the wealth and the possessions. It's what is listed there in verse 19, that the riches and the wealth to whom God hath given us, because we're working towards it, we earn it, we have it, God's going to give it to us. And then from that, he simply says the ability to enjoy them and to be happy in the work, they're gifts of God. When was the last time you went to work and said, God, thanks for the gift? As somebody's in your face, or somebody's hammering you about a job, or, you know, somebody didn't do their job, which makes your job even double harder. You know, we're living in a world where work has become really, really work. And so, but God says, no, that job and that ability to do that job is a gift. And it's a gift that God has given us. And God said, I've given you the gift, go enjoy it. I've given you the gift, go and be happy about it and what you're doing. So when God gives us the wealth and possessions and enables us to enjoy them, it's basically understood that it is preferable, and it applies that everyone who is given wealth and possessions is also empowered to enjoy them. If you're spending your time wanting more, you're losing the gift and the ability to enjoy what you have. And I'm going to carry that one step further. If you are trying to get something you lost behind you, you will miss the joy of the day you're in. If you're focused too much on the future and acquiring for a future date, you are missing the joy of the journey to get there. And so what is God saying? Stay in the day. Stay in the day. Enjoy the day. Enjoy going to the work. Enjoy what fruits or what things you can acquire because you worked hard for it. Enjoy those things every day. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry or want something that you can't have from behind. That's what Paul says in Colossians. Set your sights on things above. Moving forward, going forward, reaching forward. And so Solomon's saying the same thing. And I think it's an important phrase to understand that when God says you can enjoy these things and you can have these things, then you need to move it forward. You need to be looking and eyeing up the things that are ahead of you, not behind you. And he sums it up really well, that this gift of God basically, interesting enough, for he in verse 20, for he shall not much remember the days of his life. Now, I think what he is trying to say here, basically, the brevity or the hardships of life, the journey we called life that is full of pitfalls and caverns and tough times that we go through, that journey of life. Well, he says in verse 20, you won't remember those days. Why? Because God answered him in the joy of his heart. Listen, we will, until we find the joy in the day, we will never set aside the pain and the struggles what this life gives. Because guess what? They're not going to stop coming. Every day you wake up is another day you have a potential struggle. Every day you wake up is another day that you have a potential phone call. You have a potential issue to deal with. And so every day you know they're coming and they're going to pile up and they're going to keep going and they're going to take you and rob you from your joy. But you won't remember those days. Simply why? Because God filled the joy of my heart today. God gave me a gift. God gave me an ability. God gave me something that I can do, and I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. And when I do it to the best of my ability, you know, it's a joyful thing. It's a tremendous thing. And I'm going to tell you, there is nothing greater than taking the gift of Christ that we have in our life and taking that gift that God gave us and sending it and giving it to a world that needs it. There is no greater joy when that happens. When you can put a smile on somebody's face in the midst of a tragedy, when you can go and you can encourage somebody because they've got to make some pretty tough decisions, when you can encourage somebody and talk to them and share Christ with them, I'm telling you, there is no greater joy. And those joyful days will outnumber and outweigh all the bad days we've ever experienced if we let them, if we stay in the day. Enjoy that day and enjoy every gift that God gives us. So the challenge to me and to you tonight, we're going to get into chapter 6 and go down through there a little bit next week into the second part, because it's a warning about some of the things that stop all this. But when we look at what Dave's doing, I encourage you to wake up. And in fact, Jim had no idea what I was going to speak about tonight, but he said something this evening that fits right in with this. I probably won't remember it all, Jim. You know, I may help you out. The four things that you is a miracle. Go ahead and tell them.
There's a guy down at the Y, Tom says to me, and this other guy who was talking to, he says, four miracles happened to me this morning. I said, Tom, four miracles? He said, yeah. I said, what was the first one? He said, I woke up. I said, what was the second one? He said, I sat up. I said, how about the third one? He said, I was able to get out of bed and stand on my own two feet. I said, what was the fourth one? He said, I was able to walk. I said, Tom, four miracles. He said, yeah, for me and my age, that's four miracles. A lot of people take them for granted.
Isn't that truth? I mean, the very first thing every day. So the challenge is start listing some of the gifts that God gives you. Instead of calling them miracles, call them gifts. Every morning, what's your first gift? Well, the fact that you woke up, that's a good one to start with. But go through one day and try to list every gift that God gave you that day. Went to work, that was a gift. Was able to accomplish something at work, that was a gift. And I'm going to tell you will run out of, your fingers should cramp at the end of the day with all the gifts that God gives you every day. Stay in the day and enjoy those gifts. Because when you enjoy the gifts of the day, man, that joy in your heart, it'll take away that employee that works alongside you that really gets under your skin. It'll take away that negative stuff. And, well, just stay away from the news and you'll be better anyway. But just get rid of the news. But, you know, we have the ability and the gift of God to live a joyful life. Don't let anybody take it, because they can only take what you're willing to give them, because God gave it to you. It's your gift. Enjoy your day. Enjoy your day. So I'm encouraged with that, because I know I enjoy what I do. I love to do what I do, continue to talking about Christ whenever I can and helping people out and individuals. And it is so rewarding to be able to have some things come back and simply not not to puff you up and not to make you bigger or better, but simply that they, and I tell everybody this, if you see Christ working through me, then I am very, very excited of doing the great job, because I know the gift he's given me is not my gift. It's not me. I can't muster up this stuff. I'm not smart enough to think of this stuff. But God does, and God gives you that gift every day. Write down. Try to do it for more than one day, but after one day, it ought to be enough to teach you to stay in the day, because there's going to be so many gifts that he has given you. You didn't even get joyful yet because you didn't realize, you didn't recognize those gifts or recognize them as gifts. Solomon says everything we have is a gift, and we will basically not remember the longevity of life because that joy in our heart. It's going to be one day. And here's the goal, and I think this is what Solomon's reaching for. Every day you live, it ought to be so joyful that you stand in heaven saying, boy, that was quick. My life was quick. I was enjoying every day so much that it just passed by so fast. Because, you know, time flies when you're having fun, right? You know how biblical that saying is, according to Solomon? You have the fun in the day, your days will go, and then soon you know you're standing before God. Enjoy your days. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for who you are. We thank you for the study tonight. And Father, it is a great joy to be able to just know you and to be able to realize. And Lord, I think the whole umbrella truth of this is that we have to be willing and recognize the little gifts, the little things that you do in our lives every day. Lord, when we tally them up and we come to an understanding, boy, I think our minds are focused too much on the negative of the world. Our minds are focused too much on the negatives, the pains and the aches that we have every day. And we're missing the joy of the day and the details. And God, I thank you for being a God of details. Father, I pray that maybe tomorrow we'll all take that challenge and we'll all start writing out the gifts that you've given us throughout the day. And Lord, that by the end of the day, we will be very grateful and very joyful for that day. May we accumulate them one after another for your glory and for your honor. Father, may you teach us better and more and more every day to simply take that and stay in that day. Father, we just praise you. We thank you in your son's name. Amen. All righty. I appreciate that. And two prayer requests I want to give you before we start. One I did mention with Kim. I appreciate your prayers for her that she's able to get over this quickly. She's put a lot of efforts and times into the Bible study starting up Friday, and really getting sick was not part of the process, so appreciate if you pray for her there. And also, Linda Sutton asked prayer for Andy's mom. She has neuropathy in the one foot, and so she was shuffling across the floor and evidently tripped over the slipper she was in, but she fell. Didn't break anything, but very, very sore. And so they're going through a lot of, I don't know, I guess like you would call it a withdrawal. You know, a lot of changes came here, no friends, nobody to do anything with. So she's really asking for prayer for them. And that's Andy Sutton's mom and dad, both there. But now whenever she takes them anywhere, he's in a wheelchair, she's in a wheelchair, trying to push them both at one time. So just a lot laid on her plate also. And continue to pray for them. And then I'll let Rodney give an update on his sister. Came over the prayer chain also. Okay. Okay. All right. Continue to pray for that. For the ventilator, respirator. But really pray for that. And we do need to pray for our area. It seems like it's beginning to pick up again in our area. A lot of the schools, children are being affected by some of this, and there's a lot of younger people this round. The difference between what happened last year and what happened this year is the age group that it's affecting. The older individuals who were affected greatly, many of them passed. It's now where I'm seeing in the hospital realm, it's a lot of 20-year-olds to 40-year-olds that are passing because of this. And so it's just affecting the younger generation. And you can argue all you want about vaccine and not a vaccine, but it's very evident 100% of them in the hospital have not been vaccinated that are now getting it and dying from it. So it's a serious thing. It's a serious thing. And so really be praying for the medical health system. first responders and all that. Many of them are quitting and dropping out. As with everything I saw on the billboard of the high or the high school or the middle school, no school bus drivers. They're needing sub teachers. Everybody is short staffed in every area. And some of it's because of different reasons, but some of it's simply because it's just coming back. And so really, really pray. I mean, it's no doubt it's something God is allowing. We need to learn the lesson, and we need to move. Keep, again, join the day. I mean, there's no, you can't get upset about it. You can't get distraught about it. I think one of the greatest things is every day you wake up and say, God, I'm healthy. You know, just thank you for the health, because he's gifted you the ability to do stuff. So continue to pray for those. Any others we need to mention tonight, Karen? Okay. Now that's the U.S.
Yes.
passport and
right.
Okay, citizenship. Okay. Okay. Sometime tomorrow. Okay. Okay. Yes. They got to realize they're lost before you can get them saved. So definitely a good thing. So continue to pray for Grief Share. Continue to pray for Allie and Ronald. They are going tomorrow to get citizenship, U.S. citizenship and passport for the baby, which was born in Honduras. But it's with Allie being a U.S. citizen, they can give the baby a dual citizenship, which is very important for them to travel. And so continue to pray that that works well for them. Any others we need to mention? Wendy? Okay. And Wendy asked prayer for both of her daughters, JC going in for surgery. I should say her granddaughter, but daughter, other daughter has to be in there somewhere. So pray for Elsie.
Ezra.
I got to remember that. How can I forget that? Ezra. Pray for Ezra as she's going for her first month checkup, that all goes well with the appointment. Any others? Brother Lee. Okay. Continue to pray for Vivian. Okay, she made it through the procedure, the test, and now they're waiting for results, so pray that that goes well. So, okay, continue to pray for the Pritz, and that they gain their strength and things go well there. Okay. Okay, an individual that Brother Lee mentioned and is now in prison. And so pray that somebody's able to reach him there. Okay, they were after him and finally got him. And so, yeah, continue to pray for him. Okay, okay, good. Continue to pray for that situation for sure. Rodney? Okay. Rodney gave a praise of answered prayer, which is always a good praise, and then also for gym shots, physical shots. Okay, pray for him to physical healing. So I'll continue to pray that God will give him some strength. Okay, any others we need to mention tonight? Oh, my. Thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah, that was, well, we sort of every Sunday, we know Sue's downstairs, and so her timing of coming up here is, you know, always like, okay, I don't see you, but we got to go. So she made it to the door. She was at the door. If we had 30 seconds, we'd have been all right. But Jeff plays, obviously, every piano player plays it a little different. So he surprised me when he started the way he did. So that's all right. Start weak, finish strong, right? That's journey of life. So I appreciate that. But I enjoy those songs. Okay. Phil has an unspoken, so remember unspoken. Any others we need to mention tonight? Okay, let's go ahead and break for prayer and remember to pray one for another.